TV for curious minds.
So still to come, we have, of course, our favourite diarist, Patrick Kidd, who's going to come on and talk about the Times diary tomorrow. But I'm now pleased to be joined by Harvard professor Martin Puckner. Now, Martin has a book out, which I'm now holding up for all my millions of YouTube viewers. Martin Puckner, Culture, A New World History, which has just been published. And I have to say, Martin has a huge track record of writing huge books covering global issues. He's done one on literature, and he also edits the Norton Anthology of World Literature, which is a mere 6,000 pages and six volumes. And he also does what is known as a MOOC, a massive online course for Harvard, HarvardX, on this subject. And I'm delighted to have him on the programme. And the subtitle of the book, I think, is From Cave Art to K-Pop, which should give you a sense of what it's about. Welcome to the show, Martin.
Thanks for having me.
It's very good to have you on the show. Now, tell us, what is the thesis of Culture, A New World History?
The thesis is really that cultures thrive by borrowing from other cultures. And I know this is sort of a controversial position to take because we worry a lot about cultural appropriation, and I think in some cases, rightly so. But I wanted to take a step back and really look at the deep history of humans as a culture producing species, the kinds of things the special things we've made. And what I've come away, and I go all the way back to cave art, as you just mentioned, and what I came away from is that you can't control borrowing. You can't shut down the ways in which cultures borrow from one another. If cultures want to survive, they need to let themselves be borrowed. And if cultures want to thrive, they need to borrow from other cultures. That's really the takeaway.
But it's actually an incredibly accessible book. I mean, you would think that a kind of history of a world culture, if I can put it that way, would be a massive doorstopper, but actually it's not. It's actually a lovely and accessible book. And it's got pictures of, dare I say, some of the usual suspects, like Queen Nefertiti. But what were the kind of most surprising, if you like, cultural links that you uncovered as you wrote the book?
Yeah, I'm so glad you characterized the book, because despite of what I just said about the thesis, I somehow lost a faith, I think, in arguments that hit people over the head. And I really wanted to write the book as a kind of narrative and as an invitation of discovery, because I discovered many things. So one of the crazier connections or stories of borrowing revolve around, for example, an Ethiopian scribal, an ancient Ethiopian text, the Kebra Nagast, that tells a story of how the Queen of Sheba or her son stole the Ten Commandments from Jerusalem and brought them to Aksum in Ethiopia. And that text and that story becomes somehow the foundation of Ethiopian Christianity. And then 500 years later, it becomes one of the texts in Jamaica of the Rastafari movement. So wild cultural leaps, but a fantastic text that's not known enough.
And of course, Haile Selassie from Ethiopia, head of the Rastafari movement. And what I find interesting is, because I have a particular interest in the subject, because I'm campaigning to return what we call the Parthenon sculptures or the Elgin marbles back to Greece and back to Athens. And really what your book is there a kind of subtext to your book, which is that we shouldn't be so kind of precious about ownership? The British Museum would say we are a global museum with world cultures. In fact, they are probably, in some ways, the physical manifestation of your thesis, because you can compare different cultural objects from different cultures next to each other from the same time, if you like. Am I being sort of old-fashioned, in a funny way, in saying that the Greeks own the Parthenon sculptures?
Yeah. You're absolutely right. It's, of course, one of the debates, the restitution debate, that was in the back of my mind as I was writing the book. And I do think that in some contexts, it makes sense to return objects that were acquired under very dubious circumstances. The Elgin marbles weren't as dubious, the circumstances of their acquisition weren't even as dubious as some others, like the Benin statues from Nigeria. So I think it makes sense to return some of these objects. I think in the case of the Elgin marbles, actually the museum that Bernard Tschumi built just underneath the Acropolis, where you have the marbles that they have, and then the space is left blank, where, you know, the, for the ones that are in the British Museum, and you're standing right in this beautiful new museum, you can look at the Acropolis, and you really want them to be there, I think is actually the strongest argument for the return in a weird way. But the ultimate goal of restitution, I think, can't be that everything just goes back to where they, these objects, to where they came from. As you mentioned, then half the museums would be empty.
And, that's what people say. It's not strictly true, Martin, but I'm not going to argue with you. The other point where we do agree, though, is, again, part of your thesis in this book, of course, is the importance of the humanities. And one of the things you're fighting against is the decline of the study of humanities in universities. Right.
That's right. And I think that, you know, as with the museums, I think in the end, the goal is to have more borrowing, better borrowing, rather than everything just goes back. And I think that that is an important takeaway for the humanities, because I think that we, sometimes in the humanities, we don't do ourselves favor in sort of always erecting barriers and, you know, this is my culture and this is your culture. And students get very worried sometimes what they're allowed to read or what they're supposed to interact with. And so I think this is just a small portion, of course, a small aspect of this attempt to get people excited in the humanities again. And some of this, I think, has to do with these debates about ownership, but more importantly, I just think that we in the humanities need to get better at telling big stories about art and culture. So much of humanities research is super specialized, which is also important. I draw on some specialized, you know, research. I don't want to dismiss all of it. But somehow we've lost the ability or the taste for getting people excited about the humanities, telling bigger stories. So that's what at least what I'm trying to do.
Brilliant. Martin Puckner, Culture, A New World History is out this week, and it's a cracking read. Thank you so much. It's published by Bonnier Books. Thanks so much for coming on the programme. Still to come, Patrick Kidd, our wonderful diarist. This is Ed Vasey on Times Radio in association with Yesterday, available on Freeview Channel 27 and UK TV Play.
Hugo Rifkind on Times Radio with RBC Brewin.